Right, we better do a podcast then. The Worst Bought Scottish Football Podcast is back. I'm Hamish Carton, he's Callum Fisher.
Evening, Hamish. I think we both feel the same at the moment.
And Andrew Gamba as well.
Oh, I'm here. I'm delighted. Scotland undefeated in an international break, boys. Come on!
We should probably talk a bit about Scotland, shouldn't we, then? There's a few ways to look at it. We'll probably come from the negative kind of attitude, as has been the kind of view shared by the vast majority of supporters. But 4 points from our six possible points played in those two games, a draw against Israel at Hampden, the victory over Czech Republic. We're top of our Nations League group. I think we're 5 games undefeated now, Fisher. But the results tell a very different story to the overall feeling.
Yeah, they definitely mask, certainly the performances. I think, weirdly enough, if we were in a kind of normal time, if you'd have flipped those results around and we'd beaten Israel and taken a point off Czech Republic away from home, we would have been happy with that. But, I mean, Friday in particular, the game against Israel was absolutely rotten. In the game last night, I mean, it was a no-win situation for Scotland, really. If they lost, it would have been yet another embarrassment for the national team, and they were expected to win. And at the end, I thought, you know, the Dykes goal was very good, to be fair. Christie obviously scores a penalty, but I think we were very lucky, actually, to get out of there with all 3 points. I thought Czech Republic, particularly in the second half, could have scored again, and David Marsh has made a couple of good saves as well, but it's kind of just, it's the same old with Scotland at the moment. It's there's very, very little to get inspired or excited about.
If you rewind back to Friday, about, what would it have been, about 7:15, I made the mistake of taking to the Burst Ball Twitter account and tweeting that I was actually looking forward to seeing this new look Scotland team. It had been God knows how many months since we'd seen them in action. In that intervening period, we'd seen Scott McTominay come to the fore at Man United, we'd seen Andy Robertson continues brilliant form and win the Premier League with Liverpool. We'd seen Kieran Tierney come back from injury performing. We'd seen the likes of John Fleck, John McGinn doing well in the Premier League. We'd seen Ryan Jack up here, a few of the Celtic players up here. I was really positive about seeing us in a very winnable game against Israel and seeing what happened against Czech Republic. And I don't know about you, Gamba, but however many hours on, probably 100 hours or so, I just feel a bit deflated. I just don't feel like this team's going anywhere. They say it's the hope that kills you, and it feels a wee bit like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, Hamish, that you still have like some hope going into some of these games as well. That's at least one positive to take, because it's just been drained out of me, man. Like, going into this, I just wasn't particularly looking forward to it. I don't know whether it was the case of, we're playing Israel again, this isn't the playoff to actually go to the European Championships now. It's kind of, can't really be bothered with it. Again, there's not anyone going to be there as well, so there's that kind of element that's taken away from it. The game itself against Israel was just horrendous. There was nothing to be taken from it. I mean, at least that they didn't lose, so there's at least some kind of positive when we go into this playoff against them. You know, there's an element of, well, you know, we might be able to get through against them, but the real one that did for me was the performance against the Czech Republic. The Czech Republic should have won that game, I think, and Scotland got a very, I would say, a dodgy penalty. I'd be screaming if that was given against me. And that's what it's taken to go through. The Czech Republic created a lot of good chances, as Callum said earlier. Marshall's had to make a few good saves. Heather's crashed off this post. There's nothing much you can do about that. That was not the Czech Republic's first strength team. I just don't hold much hope going forward. But then again, I haven't held much hope going forward for Scotland since probably
forever.
I mean, there was that brief glimmer of hope going into the end of the World Cup qualifying campaign in 2018, where he Strachan got a good run of form out of them. Obviously, there's the draw against England, the what could have been there as well, and it's that final game against Slovenia that kind of does for them. But that's the last time I felt any kind of hope or optimism. Even with this playoff coming up against Israel, based on the back of that, I don't see anything going forward. But again, I don't know who to pin blame on that on. I don't know whether that's just a kind of systematic thing, or whether it's just like, oh, this is just what Scotland is now. I don't know. It's just fair play to you having that kind of Scotland going forward, because it's just, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling any time they're playing in any tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go all the way back to 2018, because I think whenever Scotland have these failures, we have a tendency, not us particularly, but the Scottish media has a tendency to spend days and days covering why things have gone wrong. It always comes back to the old grassroots, the old Mark Vota and all that stuff. And for me, it's far simpler than that. It's a team that just doesn't look... Put it this way. If you were to look at the game on Tuesday night in Czech Republic and you were to be told one of the teams was a C team who had never been put together, had never played together, had a new manager that never met before probably, I'm being serious, you'd be saying it's Scotland, because Czech Republic looked far more cohesive, they looked hungrier, they actually looked better as well, which is just worrying that we're... And I get all the stuff folk were saying that, oh, it's a real tough one because everyone's expecting Scotland to win this, and they can't win. If they win, then they're expected to win, and if they lose, it's a travesty. But we've got players playing with Liverpool, we've got players playing with Arsenal. I know he didn't start, but we've got good players, Man United in that team, and they look like a bunch of strangers, Fisher.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be, as you mentioned, a real lack of cohesion with the squad. I think maybe on Friday you could have looked at the fact that Steve Clark changed formation as a factor in that. But you're kind of going through the core of a squad now that have been together. Obviously, we mentioned 2018, but they've been together for a couple of years now, and at times it just feels like they channel the mood of the support, but... There's some players there that maybe that look as if they can't be bothered being there.
And I know they just look
beaten. It's particularly once that Israel goal goes in on Friday, you know that Scotland aren't scoring again. And if anything, we're probably going to lose the game. Similarly, last night, if Czech Republic score even 5-10 minutes into the second half, the likelihood of Scotland scoring again, I think, was very minimal. I think, as Gamba mentioned, we were very lucky to get the penalty. Obviously, the build up and the finish for Dyke's goal was very good, but that was the only real bit of quality that we've seen from Scotland in two games, which is really disappointing considering the circumstances. So yeah, I completely understand what you mean. I just think it's just all set up next month for this Israel game for it to be the same old, and you just have no confidence when the going gets tough for the Scotland team. They tend to just kind of look about at somebody else for somebody to do something, if you like. And unfortunately, we're not one of, you know, I know there's a debate about Robertson, but our best player's a left-back, and it's very difficult for a left-back to be the talisman of the team, but there's nobody there that's going to dig Scotland out of a hole, so it needs to be a collective team effort. And unfortunately, as has been the case for X amount of years under X amount of managers, it's just not there. And we've had the debate since the podcast has been going about what can change and what can people do, what can supporters do, but we just seem to arrive at this point where we kind of, everybody just goes, we can't really be bothered with this. And the players, I think for me, particularly over these two games, have looked exactly the same. Just as if, as you mentioned, they look beaten. They're not really sure what to do. They're looking around for answers and nobody can provide them. And I mean, I am one of the ones that advocated for Steve Clarke to get the job. Even some of the stuff that he came out with, particularly after Friday, was just bewildering. I mean, if that's in my... if that's a Rangers manager, I'm going off my head, because it just seems so kind of detached from what everybody else was seeing. And when everybody in terms of the support is kind of agreeing on a general point and the players and the management don't seem to be seeing it, I think that's when you worry, and I think that's why there is genuine concern ahead of this game next month.
I was a big fan of the Steve Clarke appointment as well. I thought it was the perfect fit. He'd done really well at Kilmarnock and got them into third place, their best season in God knows how long, and I thought it was a really good appointment. I thought he was a guy who was going to take us to a major championship. He may still be, but I don't know how many games he's been in charge now. It's probably close to double figures. He's had the vast majority of the last campaign. I think he played Belgium twice. I think he played Russia twice. He had the three games at the end, and he's now had, two games there. I'm just waiting for it to start. I'm waiting for the moment when you go, right, the Steve Clarke Scotland regime's underway, and we're now, I'll say 10 games into it, and we've not had that moment. We've not had, I know we had the three wins in a row, but that was against San Marino, Kazakhstan, and was it Cyprus? Like, come on. I'm waiting in the moment when this team actually goes, right, here we go, we're a good group of players, we're going to do something. Maybe it'll come next week, next month against Israel. But even if we get through that, there is not a chance we're going away to Norway or Serbia and beating them. Not a chance. And I feel like everyone's... Sorry I'm ranting so much, but I feel like everyone's got this in their head that Scotland have been getting away with all their failures for the last year because everyone's been saying, ah, but they've got the playoffs coming up next year and they could be the team who ends the wait. We're not going to do it. And when we don't do it, then where are we left, Gamba? Like, what are we left doing when we fail again and... this team's just in a horrible place with a manager who at that stage will look like he doesn't know what he's doing.
It's quite funny that we're all this dejected and it's like they're two games away from a major tournament and it looks as if they're going to win this group in the Nations League. They're in a very, very good position to do it now. So Scotland could end up in the top tier of these Nations Leagues, which is hilarious. Like, it's just a joke. I honestly don't know because... I know we were saying we don't want to look too far back, but I think we can all probably agree Alex McLeish probably wasn't the best appointment for Scotland manager, but I don't think the success of managers that they've had in a while, there's been good enough managers and there's been good enough squads to qualify, so there almost seems to be something else that's now a problem, and I don't know. If Scotland don't qualify for Euro 2021, I don't know where you go from there, really. I don't know what you do. I think... there's almost a part of me now looking at it going like, was it actually a mistake just to kind of get rid of Strachan after the end of that tournament qualifying, just going like, I don't know now, like, are we in a we obviously ended up in a much worse position having gotten rid of him, but now further down the line, did we learn any mistakes from that? I don't know.
That was a team that was doing really well, and I was one of the guys who said, I can't remember my reasoning at the time because we're going back a bit, but I did want Strachan out. I think,
yeah,
I felt he'd had, I think, three shots to qualify.
Aye.
But see looking back, like, that team at the end of that qualification campaign, the draw against England, the win over Slovenia, drawing away to Slovenia when we could have won that match, that was a team that was doing really well, and they're a million miles away from that now.
It's interesting, again, these games, the kind of, just the shite way Scotland were playing in those games. It'll be interesting, I think, if they beat Israel and they end up playing Serbia or Norway, whether because we'll be coming up against a team that we would maybe think... I don't think it's controversial to say that both of those teams on paper are better than us. It will be interesting to see whether, if the way that Clark sets up his team going into a game against these kind of teams would be any different compared to these games where maybe Scotland are expected to win and expected to do something. This is the only ray of light I've got, guys. I'm really trying to look for a positive here that they might be able to...
I mean, but Belgium still put four passes at Hampden, didn't they?
Which is the really, really worrying precedent. But I don't know whether it would be different because we did see it quite a lot when Clark was managing in Scotland, taking Kilmarnock up against Celtic and Rangers and consistently getting results against them. So I'm hoping it's of a similar gulf of class or similar depth and class between the two teams that he can do something with the Scotland team. But we all know, you both guys both know, and everyone listening to know, I'm clutching at straws here. Like, if anyone saw the highlights of that Norway game, they are terrifying.
Yeah,
like, they are terrifying. Yeah.
Well, that was Northern Ireland at home, and I know obviously Michael O'Neill since moved on, but
they've got that wanker Barraclough in charge now.
So
I wonder if he looked frustrated last night.
So yeah, it was. I mean, I watched the kind of highlights of that, and I just, Haaland, and I don't mean any disrespect to any of our centre halves, because in their own right, they are actually decent players, but fucking.
See, if you look at it in club football, it's a Dortmund striker going up against an Aberdeen centre back. I mean, what do you expect to happen?
Yeah, or obviously, you've got Liam Cooper at Leeds and Declan Gallagher,
or then we play a makeshift. You've got Man United midfielder playing there as well. Like.
Yeah, so.
It's not just Haaland as well. See the boy Sorloth. See his record in Turkey. Fucking hell, man. He's some player.
He got a double as well, and obviously El Yunusi scored, and it's just like...
Rudigard.
You just, and I mean, even Serbia, I mean, the Serbia squad with like Mitrovic, Milinkovic, Savic, Jovic, guys like that. I mean, hopefully, as Gamba says, maybe we do get through Israel and maybe it isn't pretty. And then, as you know, as you mentioned, Hamish, the Steve Clarke kind of era clicks in when we're playing a team of significant class. But as you mentioned, we get beaten fairly comfortably off Belgium, who again are another step up from Serbia and Norway, to be fair. But
even Russia humped us as well, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look great. And I think maybe Scottish football fans in general are maybe guilty of, or Scottish people in general are always guilty of looking at the negative more than the positive. But you would need, as Gamba said, you would need to be clutching at some serious straws to be taking a lot of positives out of those last two games.
Let's just do that then. Let's say there's three of us on this call right now, so let's each give a positive. Gamba, you're up first.
Scotland striker scoring. That was good. You've actually now got an option. I think if Dykes is fit, he's probably the main man now, because Griffiths doesn't look like he's playing anytime soon, and I think McBurn is probably finished with Scotland. So the fact now that you've got a guy that's come into a game and scored, he was playing against, you know, a Czech Republic 11, which, you know, hopefully he can go from there. Who knows? But yeah, I'll take that as a positive. A Scotland striker scoring in a football match.
Aye, that was probably my positive, to be honest. I thought Lyndon Dykes, even other than his goal, he was really good in the two games. And I don't know, I've heard a lot of folks saying that he was like a flash in the pan, and he only played well against Rangers and Celtic last year. And the thing I really like about him is he's a big game player, and I think we saw that again. I genuinely think Lyndon Dykes could be a good Scotland striker for the next few years. That's the big positive to come out the couple of games for me. Fisher, is there anything else you want to...
Yeah, you've both nicked mine, because Dykes was going to be my one. I suppose just involving Dykes, and I mentioned it twice already, but the movement for our first goal, for Dykes' goal yesterday, was actually very good. The ball from Fleck out to Palmer was excellent, and the ball into Dykes for the good finish. That was really, I mean, Ryan Christie's penalty was pretty good on Friday, but that was kind of it, wasn't it? The away kit's quite nice.
Can't even remember it. It's white, like, isn't it?
Like a whitey, baby blue kind of number. It's not bad. We've had worse.
Gamba, you wanted to touch on Sky's coverage as well.
People were getting ripped into it. I quite enjoyed the whole being able to catch up with other games right on half time. I don't know whether the format of having two people watching two different games and letting you know what was going on in the other game, but I just don't take the Nations League seriously at all. So I quite like the idea of that half-time coverage just being like, oh, here's the goals from the other games, by the way. I don't know whether that's like a disrespect or what, but I quite liked being able to see the Northern Ireland highlights at half-time. Whether that'll be a thing going forward, who knows?
Well, they did. That wasn't just a Sky-only thing, because I was watching on ESPN through completely legal means, of course, and they did the exact same thing, so it might just be a requirement type thing.
Cutbacks, innit?
Exactly.
Gareth McCauley's an awful pundit. Jeez, oh man, what a depressing man he is.
Fletcher's looking okay as a pundit, though, I would say. Like, I think it's been
his accent's awful, though. The accent's absolutely awful. I'm not even. I was attempting it last night, but I'm not even going to try now. But it just kind of goes for every word too much, and it's just like I'm just not a fan of it. Right, shall we move on and talk about club football, because it returns this weekend, and it's not the only thing returning this weekend. Fans are back as well, but there are stipulations, as is often the case. Ross County versus Celtic and Aberdeen versus, not got a clue who they're playing, to be honest. Anyone?
Kilmarnock.
Oh, very nice. So only be home fans, so only Aberdeen fans, Ross County fans. I believe it's about 300 at both games. First of all, seems a bit daft when you've got a stadium, what's Pataudry, about four times that of Ross County, and you're still only letting the same number in. Seems a bit daft, to be honest. Personally, I think there should be more than that coming in. Anyway, we had sent into the group chat by our very own resident Dons fan, Ryan Crombie, who I believe is trying to get into the game by legal means on Saturday. We'll let you know whether he succeeds or not on the Twitter, and if he does, we'll maybe get him on the pod at some stage to tell us what it was like. He sent in all these stipulations. I think it was sent out by the club. It's a big, long kind of document, so I won't go into them all. But effectively, they tell you that if you get into the game, you must remain in your allocated seat. Standing is strictly prohibited. You must always wear your face covering, covering both your nose and your mouth. Please avoid face-to-face contact with other spectators. This is a funny one. If the match ball, should the match ball enter the stand, please pass this down to the ball boy to be sanitised. Under no circumstances must you throw the ball onto the pitch, because that would be an absolute travesty if that happened. Please ensure that you sanitise your own hands once the ball has been passed back. Coughing and sneezing, please catch this in a tissue, yes. No chanting, shouting, singing, they're all to be avoided to help reduce the risk of infection. And priority will be given on the stairwells to people ascending the stairs. What's the point in even bothering to go?
It doesn't sound like the best thing in the world. I mean, I know for me it was always a case of I would rather just wait until we can get everybody back in, but obviously test events are necessary, and we've seen it with the rugby as well. But yeah, to me it doesn't seem like much fun. But then again, if the test event at Ibrox was going ahead and I had been, I assume Rangers would have done a ballot as well, I'd have been really excited to go. But it's just not really what football's meant to be about, is it? But I guess it's just something we're going to have to get used to, probably definitely into the new year anyway, but hopefully no longer than that.
Are we a bit concerned, Gamba, about the fact that cases are rising again? Obviously we should definitely be concerned about that, but in terms of just football context, we're concerned about the fact that we're maybe starting to get fans back, and I certainly fear that if things start spiking again, there'll be a complete blanket ban on supporters again, and it may not just be supporters, it may be football matches getting played in their entirety.
Yeah, I feel like I've been very negative on this podcast, but I don't think you're particularly wrong there. If I mean, things are going in a certain direction at the moment, which isn't great. I know Callum was mentioning about the Rangers test event. I know Celtic had tried to get a test event there. Things are looking interesting in Glasgow and the surrounding area, so I don't see it happening anytime soon. Without doxing Ryan, I think it'll be interesting to see whether he actually gets in, because my understanding is to get into the games, you actually have to be from the local postcode of the team. So, it'll be.
Where does he live? Edinburgh or something?
I said without doxing him.
He's a Leith boy, isn't he?
So I'll be, again, as I said, it'll be interesting to see whether he gets in, but it looks as if it's going to be places where there's no form of local lockdown restrictions going on, which rules a lot of West Coast clubs out of it. Probably the Lanarkshire clubs will be coming soon with that. I think getting to see your team this season is going to be a privilege afforded to very, very few people. Very few people. I'll be amazed if more than 10,000 people get into games this season across Scotland.
Wow.
That's a shout. Somebody needs to clip that.
I hope it works, and I hope we kind of get a control on things, because there's nothing I'd like to do more than go back and see Celtic, because it's been, the best part of half a year now. This is the longest it's been not going to games since I was a tiny, tiny wee boy. But I just the way things are going, I just don't see it happening anytime soon. And it's really, really frustrating and really annoying, because this is what I like doing. I like going and watching the football, and it's just, you just can't. It's so, so annoying. I'm so jealous of the people that will be going to these games. But then again, when you look at the restrictions, and it's like, you know, chanting, shouting and singing is to be avoided, it's like, then as you were saying, Hamish,
the jokes just write themselves sometimes, don't they?
Pataudry, yeah. I mean, again, it's one of those ones where you look at it and you go, so, but I suppose what you're wanting to do is you're wanting to go back to the games before March time. You don't want to go to games where there's 300 people in a 20,000 seater stadium. It's going to be really interesting to see, but it's Aye. As I was saying, it'll be interesting to see who they let in, how they let them in, and how these things kind of go from here. But, I mean, Aberdeen seemed to get a kind of handle after the lockdown restrictions were lifted, so they might be a place where you can watch things consistently in the future compared to the rest of the country.
Right, on to the actual football that is taking place on Saturday. And funnily enough, it's all happening at 3 o'clock on Saturday. When was the last time that every single Premiership match was happening at 3 o'clock on a Saturday? Sky haven't taken a single match this weekend. Maybe that's got something to do with the fact that the English Premier League season starts this weekend.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's good news for Ross County, though. They are expecting, I think, around 15,000 Celtic supporters to buy pay-per-view for the game on Saturday in Dingwall. I think it's priced at £15 per stream, so if you do the math, you're looking at, I think, well over £100,000 if that comes to fruition. Whether the Ross County system will be able to deal with that many fans buying in is a different question, but that's one of the games. Ross County versus Celtic. Rangers host Dundee United. It's the Jack Ross return to Paisley. St Mirren against Hibs. We've also got the probably the most Hackett game in the whole league, Livingston against Hamilton. Motherwell against St Johnstone and Aberdeen against Kilmarnock, as we say. It's obviously a bit difficult, Fisherman. We've not had club football for what seems like ages, and it's probably only like 11 days or something, but it seems like ages. It's probably a bit difficult. I've certainly a wee bit out of the loop with regards to what's happening with all these teams. There's probably not a great deal happening. Is there anything at all you feel like touching on that's happening on Saturday that's exciting you?
Just as you were kind of reading out the fixtures there, I certainly think Ross County have made a much better start to the season than I think maybe a lot of people envisioned. Obviously they're sitting in fifth, albeit St Mirren just below them do have a game in hand, but County at home to Celtic, who haven't been particularly great over the past couple of weeks, despite obviously only having not lost a game domestically yet, but obviously the European troubles and stuff like that, I think County could certainly give Celtic a few problems. Aberdeen Kilmarnock that we touched on is usually a good game, although obviously Aberdeen will most likely win that given they seem to have Kilmarnock in their kind of back pocket. And obviously my team Rangers playing Dundee United, last time we played them was the Scottish Cup semi-final at Ibrox, as I'm sure. Everyone remembers the Steve Simonson game. So that should be quite a tasty one as well. I mean, a lot of games here would be greatly improved with support. I think every game would actually be quite interesting if you had supporters back. Just, you know, the bite of Rangers versus Dundee United, Celtic going away to County, St Mirren at home to Hibs, those kind of games as well. And there are some decent games there. I'm just glad that the kind of club football's back and we can start getting back into the swing of things. And I hope, because I know we kind of made the joke that some of the games on Sky haven't been great, but elsewhere there has been some decent games. So I hope clubs haven't been too disrupted by the international break and we get back into the swing of things and see some cracking games at the weekend.
Yeah, you comment on the fact that all these games, well, all of them would be boosted by the fact of or the prospect.
Aye, that's
of
like having... the most obvious point. Aye, that's like the most obvious point I could have made. So please don't like abuse me on Twitter for it. Like I get it, but
no, it's a very fair point though. I mean, to make another obvious point, I'm just so fed up of games with no fans. I think at the start of the season, it was nice to have Scottish football back, and there was almost a bit of a novelty factor of having games behind closed doors in this country after we'd seen it happening in, you know, Germany, Spain, England, etc. But maybe it's just the whole negative vibes of this podcast filtering in, but I'm just totally fed up with games with no fans. I'm fed up watching highlights and sports scene of games with no fans. Now I understand that, or I get that two of the games this weekend will have some fans, but I mean, are you really going to notice 300 fans at Pittodrie for Aberdeen against Killy, especially when they're not allowed to sing, stand, etc.? I don't know. What am I looking forward to this weekend? I think Rangers-Dundee United will be a good one. Dundee United obviously lost 4-0 at Kilmarnock last time out of the game I was at, and it sounds a bit daft to say that they're a decent side after they just lost 4-0 to a Killy team that hadn't won all season, but I do think Dundee United will do all right in that game. I think they proved against Celtic that they're able to sit in and defend well. They had a similar game against Hibs as well at the start of the season, albeit both of those were at Tannadice. But I think at Ibrox, if they hold on early on, they're a team who can maybe frustrate Rangers a bit. And they've got a bit going forward as well. I like Luke Bolton, the winger. Maybe not the best defensively, but... and maybe question marks if he'll even start the game, but even if he's coming off the bench, I think he can offer them something. I really like Ian Harkes as well, so I don't think that's an easy game for Rangers at all. I think that Mickey Mellon will, kind of knowing the way he talks, I think he'll fancy his chances of getting a result there, so that's a good one to look out for. Gamba, do you want to pick out anything that excites you for the games on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think St Mirren Hibs should be alright. I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be an interesting one just to see whether Hibs can kind of bounce back, kind of get things going again. And they're going, as I know we were talking about St Mirren's kind of form, and they're not far behind Ross County, who've been doing really, really well. But no, I think that'll be a really good matchup. I'm looking forward to that one.
They've not lost a goal for open play yet, Hibs, this season. They've lost the Chris Burke brilliant free kick in the opening day and two penalties, so they're a team who are clearly defending quite well, and from what I saw St Mirren 3 or 4 weeks ago, they look like a team who are defending well as well. So looking forward to that. As I touched on, Fisher, the horrible game, Livingston against Hamilton, probably glad those two teams that there's not fans in, because what would the crowd be if there were fans allowed? Probably 700 or 800, something like that. Maybe, sorry, I'm being too harsh. We should really be talking things up here. But yeah,
if you're clinically depressed, this is definitely the podcast for you. I think it's a get right game for me, and by that sense, I mean I don't think we've seen the best of Hamilton or Livingston. I mean, probably more so Livingston. I know a lot of people have tipped Hamilton to go down. Difficult game to really call. I think, similar to maybe what we talked about Scotland, you're kind of just waiting for Livingston to get themselves going a wee bit, and they haven't really done so so far. Obviously, took points off Rangers a couple of weeks back, but I think a lot of us were predicting that Livingston would be where Ross County and St Mirren are, and maybe now that we've had the start of the season and a break, that'll maybe reinvigorate them. But I am, as much as you're talking it down, I'm interested to see that one, because I am interested in whether Hamilton, I know they've got Motherwell below them, but I am interested excuse me, to see whether Hamilton are just going to sort of bomb at the foot of the table, or if they are going to do what they usually do and put up a bit of the fight. And I'm interested to see whether Livingston's start to the season is just a poor run at the start, or whether they're going to start climbing the table and kind of being the Livingston that we've seen over the past couple of years. So I definitely think there's something for everyone in every game. That's as positive as I can be at this stage.
Sports scene will be good, Gamba, at least, if we've got all these games.
That is a good fixture card. That is a really good fixture card. I'm actually glad we've done a wee preview.
Right, guys, I've just about had enough of everything, to be honest. Fantasy football's back, remember, and do your teams at the Bus Ball League. We'll return some stage next week, probably after the weekend. That would make sense, wouldn't it, looking back? And I promise to be a little bit more upbeat. I'm just a little bit fed up at the moment. But Andrew Gamba, thank you very much for joining me.
No, not at all. Hamish, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Has it? And Callum Fisher as well.
I have actually enjoyed myself. This has perked my spirits, and I'll be in even better spirits when we come to do the review next week, I guarantee it.
Good stuff. At least it's boosted someone. Yes, thank you very much for taking the time to listen to this show. Let us know what you thought. Twitter, we're at Burstball Podcast. If you want to tell a friend about the podcast, that'd be appreciated. Leave a review on iTunes, etc. We'll speak to you very soon after hopefully an exhilarating weekend of Scottish Premiership action. Until next time, take care, and we'll speak to you soon.